and the nursery workers and children's church workers can be excused, six and younger. I've had some complaints that big children are going into the nursery and children's church. Please, parents, work with us on this, okay? Nursery workers are coming to me and children's church workers come to me and say, Pastor, some big kids are going back there. And we try to be flexible in some cases, but if you don't say something, before you know it, everybody's going to go back there up to like 10, 11 years old. That's ridiculous. So please, if you're 7 years old, you should be able to sit and learn and listen to the preaching and learn from the Word of God. I got one amen on that, so I'll keep at it, amen. In fact, I've seen a lot of kids get saved because they sit and listen to the preaching and they get saved. Now, they get saved in children's church too, I understand that. But that's geared towards little youngsters. 7-year-old getting a little older now. They should be able to pay attention. All right, please open your Bible to the book of Matthew, Gospel of Matthew. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25. Gospel of Matthew, 25. And I'll begin reading verse 14. I'll begin reading in Matthew 25 and verse number 14. And we'll go down to verse number 30. Matthew 25. Verse 14, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And I want you to notice that word servants, and that is going to be my emphasis this morning, his servants. Verse 15, and unto one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants, is that word again, servants, cometh and reckoned with them. And let me remind you, there is a day of reckoning coming. And let me remind you, verse number 19 says, it seems like a long time, but the Lord is coming back. Verse 20. And so, he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Verse 22. He also that received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. But I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knowest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then, at my coming, I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Why don't we stop at this place here and pray. Heavenly Father, help me do my best to preach the Word of God, to properly expound the Word of God. Again, we ask that Thy presence will be real, that the Spirit of God will illuminate us, speak to us, yea, convict us. And I pray particularly for anybody in this room that's not saved, that, Lord, today they'll get saved. In fact, I pray they'll get saved before they leave here today. And, Lord, we pray for revival for God's people. And we pray for a great harvest of souls. And we pray that we'll see some of that harvest even this Lord's day. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The parables in Matthew chapter 25 deal with faithfulness. Verse 21 is a familiar verse. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I would think that each and every Christian in this room today is looking forward to the day when you'll be face to face with our Lord and our Savior, and He'll say to you, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. And we see the same thing repeated in verse 23. So these parables deal with faithfulness. These parables deal with the reward, with the theme, I should say, of reward and retribution. Now, you study Matthew 25, you'll see these different parables. You have the parable of the 10 virgins. Then you have the parable we're looking at this morning about the man traveling into a far country. Sometimes called, we call that the parable of the talents. And then we also see in verse 31, we have the Lord coming back. And you have the story about the king, and he's going to separate the sheep and the goats. But if you look at these parables, and you look at Matthew 25, you'll see this theme of reward and retribution. For example, look at the parable of the 10 virgins. Verse 1, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. Now, I'm not going to expound this parable this morning, but let me tell you, oil here is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. Now, oftentimes in Scripture we see that. No oil. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, and it seems like the bridegroom's tarrying, the beloved, he's coming back. Sometimes we get kind of careless, sometimes we get complacent, sometimes we get impatient, but let me remind you, the bridegroom might seem to be tarrying, but he's coming back. And so while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And we have a lot of sleepyhead Christians, all right? They're all sleeping, they're all slumbering. And then at midnight, there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Pretty soon we're going to hear that cry. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they were out, when they went out to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Beloved, someday the door is going to be shut, and all your opportunities are going to be gone. Now's the time to make sure you're right with God. Don't miss up these opportunities. The door was shut. And afterward came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. You know, Brother Earls has preached here a few times, and many of you love him. He's here to us. And I remember when I was in Bible college, one of my classmates was getting married in Brother Earl's church. Brother Earl's was his pastor. And he said to all the Bible college students, make sure you get there in time, because he shuts the doors when the wedding starts. You can't get in. And he said, sometimes people get very indignant. They bang on the door and say, let me in, that's my niece. Let me in, that's my brother getting married. Too bad the door's shut. And he uses this verse here. He uses this verse. Verse 10. The door was shut. And he's a real fundamentalist, you know. And he said, the door's shut. You're not getting in. enough. I said, if I try that around here, oh boy, we have some. I've been held up doing weddings. Bride's groom's late, the bride's late, best man's late, everybody's late. You know, waiting around. I think I'm going to start doing this. I know. I might have a fight on my hands, but you know, I don't mind a little scrape now and then. But anyway, let's get back on track here. Now, these parables deal with the theme of reward and retribution. Look also, please, at chapter 25, and verse number 26. The Lord said to the slothful and wicked servant, that wicked and slothful servant. See, he rebuked him. He condemned him, called him wicked and slothful. And then if you look also, to save time, go down to verse number 30. And cash be the unprofitable servant. Not only is he wicked and slothful, he's unprofitable. Isn't it a shame some people are unprofitable to God? Unprofitable servant. It's an outer darkness. In case anybody wondering what that means, that's talking about hell. Outer darkness, where there's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So we see here the theme of reward and retribution. We see the theme of faithfulness. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's the reward. Then there's retribution for those who are not faithful, those that are unprofitable, those that are wicked, those that are slothful. This morning, we are, by the way, you see the same theme in the end of the chapter. Look at verse 46. Before we get back to the parable of the talents, look at verse 46. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment. Everlasting punishment. But the righteous into life eternal. Listen, you can't have one without the other. You can't have heaven without hell. The Bible teaches both. Some go to everlasting punishment, some go to everlasting life. Some go to heaven, some go to hell. So if anybody tells you, well, I believe in heaven, but I don't believe in hell, then you don't believe the Bible. Because the Bible teaches both. Now, this morning, we're going to look at the parable of the man traveling into a far country. Oftentimes, this is called the parable of the talents. And look at verse number 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country. Look at verse 15. And he gave to one 5 talents, another 2 talents, another 1 talent. So it's called the parable of the talents, or the parable of the man traveling into a far country. The key word in this parable, the key word is the word servant. And I want to preach this morning on well done thou good and faithful servant. That's the key word. Look at verse 14. He said he called his own servants, verse 14. And then verse 19. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh. And then verse 21. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Verse 23. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Verse 26. Thou wicked and slothful servant. Verse 30. Cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. So the key word in this parable is the word servant. Servant. And today we're going to try to consider this. We're going to consider the relationship of the servant and the requirements for a servant and the recompense of a servant. First, let's look at the relationship. Beloved, the relationship begins when a man decides to change masters. The relationship, we're talking about the relationship of a servant. It begins when a man or a woman decides to change masters. According to the Bible, you're either the Lord Jesus Christ is your master or the devil is your master. Let me ask you, who's your master? That's where the relationship begins. When you decide, I've had enough working for the devil, I'm going to start working for God. And then the Lord becomes your master. Look at Romans 6, please. Keep your place in Matthew. We will come back. But look at Romans 6. I want to emphasize today the relationship of the master and the servant. And this relationship that we have with the Lord Jesus began the moment we decided he's my Lord, he's my Savior, he's my master. And we changed masters. No longer was the devil our master, now the Lord Jesus our master. Look at Romans 6, verse 16. Romans 6. Romans 6, verse 16. Know ye not And by the way, Paul says that a lot here in this chapter. No, you're not. You study this chapter and mark those times. He says that. No, you're not. No, you're not. That to whom ye yield yourselves servants, is that word again, servants to obey, his servants you are, to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. We were talking about righteousness this morning in Sunday school, and I emphasize there is an element of obedience to it, because if you really are a servant of God, you can obey him. Some people say they're servants of God, but they don't obey God. Here Paul says, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were, notice were, Paul is talking to Christians here. He says, past tense, ye were the servants of sin. Beloved, if you're saved today, you're no longer a servant of sin. And you were, but no longer. You were the servants of sin. You've got to believe that and stop obeying your old master. Obey your new master, the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, but God be thanked, you were the servant of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin. Praise God, if you're saved, you're free from sin. You're no longer in bondage to sin. You're no longer a servant to sin. Yeah, you're no longer a slave to sin. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. That's what a relationship began. You stopped being a servant of sin. You decide, I'm going to become a servant of righteousness. I'm no longer going to be a slave of the devil. I'm going to be a servant of God. So, being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. This is so important to understand. Verse 19, I speak after the manner of men, because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness. Again, before you were saved, before you were born again, before God saved you and cleansed you and transformed you, then, before that, you were servants to uncleanness and to iniquity and to iniquity. I was telling one of our members, I got to stop reading the newspaper on Sunday. I just happened to be reading the paper this morning, had my breakfast, and there's an article there that was so bad about the Rikers Island and what was on over there. And I read that and said, oh my, what a wicked world we live in. You say, I know, those convicts are pretty wicked. Forget about the convicts. The prison guards are wicked over there. And I can't even go into it now. It was so vile. But look here. They were servants to uncleanness and to iniquity and to iniquity. Even so now, yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. Get a new master. No longer under an old master. Before with the old master, you were servants to uncleanness, to iniquity. But now, praise God, you get a new master. He says, yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. Verse 20, for when ye were, this is again past tense, before you were saved, you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit have you then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? Listen, if you're saved by the grace of God, you think about the things you used to do before you were saved, you're ashamed. Aren't you ashamed? I think back at things I did before I got saved. Oh, it's embarrassing to think about. Shameful. Things I used to do, places I used to go, people I used to associate with. Thank God God saved me and changed me. But now you're ashamed of those things. For the end of those things is death. Remember, the wages of sin is death. You can't do those things. Can be death. Not just physical death, but the second death. Eternal separation from God. Now the Bible says, verse 22, but now that you're saved, now that God has saved you and changed you and transformed you and cleaned you up, but now being made free from sin and become servants to God. There's a new relationship now. This relationship began when we changed masters. Now you're a servant of God, but now being made free from sin, praise God, listen, you not only have been delivered from the penalty of sin, which is eternity in hell, but praise God, we've been saved from the power of sin. You need to get a hold of that. It grieves me when I hear about Christians keep on getting into sin, keep on backsliding, keep on doing the same stupid things over and over again. Look, you've been free and delivered from that. Amen? You better believe the Bible. You say the Bible says that, a hard time believing it. But you better believe it. Ask God to give you more faith to believe His Word. being now made free from sin and became servants to God, he had your fruit unto holiness. And the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So, beloved, I want to talk about being a good and faithful servant. I want to talk about the relationship of a servant, the requirements for a servant, and the recompense of a servant. And the relationship began when we changed masters. When we decided that we're no longer going to be servants to sin and slaves to the devil. Praise God, God is our master. The Lord Jesus Christ is our Lord, our master, our Savior. In John chapter 8 and verse 34, the Lord Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committed sin is a servant of sin." Have you heard about that? Jesus said very plainly, whosoever commits sin is a servant of sin, or you could say the slave of sin. And some of you today can say, look back and say, I was a slave to sin. Thank God the Lord delivered me from that. Now, some of you might still be slaves to sin. Isn't it time to want to change masters? Isn't it time to decide, you know, I've had enough? The devil's not, he's not a good master. I feel so beat up serving the devil. There's no future in this. I need to change masters. Some of you need to change masters. You're on the wrong side right now. You're on the devil's side. You gotta turn to the Lord and say, Lord, I want you to be my Lord and my Savior. I want you to be my master. Because Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committed sin is a servant of sin. So let me ask you, are you a servant of God or a servant of sin? In 1 Thessalonians, you're gonna turn there, I'll just read it to you, but in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse number 9, the Apostle Paul said to the Christians in the church of Thessalonica, he says, they turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. See, they changed masters. They were in bondage to idolatry. They were brainwashed by the devil. They were slaves of the devil. But they turned to God. They repented of their idolatry. They turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Ever wonder why Paul refers to God as a living and true God, in contrast to these dead idols that don't speak, they can't hear, you see? But God is a living and true God. He speaks to us through His Word. He hears our prayers. He's a living and true God. Now, that's 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9. Paul says they were servants to sin. They were in bondage to idols, but they turned to God from their idolatry. They became servants of the living and true God. Here's another one. Hebrews 9, verse 14, says the blood of Jesus Christ purges the conscience of Christians, enabling them to turn from their dead works to serve the living God, to become servants of God. Turn from their dead works. Turn from their sin. Beloved, we need God's power in order to serve Him. We cannot do it in our own strength. We cannot do it by our own efforts. Some people try to serve God in the flesh, and that's always disastrous. It's unacceptable to God. We've got to turn from our dead works and do it in the power of God, in the strength of the Holy Spirit. W.H. Griffith Thomas said something I thought was worth sharing. He said, power is needed for God's work, and that He alone can give. True service is heart service, and for that the heart must be changed. I like that. True service for God is heart service. And in order to give heart service to God, the heart has to be changed. So if your heart's not right with God, ask the Lord to give you a new heart. Amen? And then you'll have a new master, a new heart, and now a new service. When the heart of man is changed by the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit, he becomes more and more like his master, more and more like his Lord and Savior. Jesus said, it is enough for the disciple that he be as his master. How about that, huh? The Lord said the disciple should be like his master, and the servant as his Lord. Praise God. We want to be like the Lord, and that's the relationship right there. Jesus said it's enough for the disciple that he be as his master, and the servant as his Lord. That's Matthew 10:25. The Lord Jesus is our master, and he's our example. The Bible says we should follow in his steps, 1 Peter 2:21. Listen to this.
I'm going to quote to you from John chapter 13.
The Lord Jesus said this, "For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them." Beloved, that's the basis for the relationship. Let's move on. We have the relationship. Let's also look at the requirement. The requirement. Now, this is very simple. In Matthew chapter 25, go back to Matthew 25 and look at verse 21. Here we see the requirements. Very simple. Two words. Good and faithful. I'm going to read it. Matthew 25:21. His Lord said unto him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Those are the requirements. Good and faithful. Look at verse 23. His Lord said unto him, "Well done, good and faithful servant." There are only two requirements we're going to consider this morning. Good and faithful. Now, by the way, the Lord also gives two words to describe the devil's servants. Go down with me, please, to Matthew 25 and verse 26. His Lord answered and said unto him, "Thou wicked and slothful servant." What a contrast. Good and faithful, wicked and slothful. Now, what are you? Are you good and faithful? I hope so. Not wicked and slothful. I hope not. Now, what a contrast. So let me ask you, who are you serving? The requirement to be God's servant is to be good and faithful. So we need to make up our mind who we're going to serve. The Lord Jesus put it this way in Matthew 6, verse 24. He said, "No man can serve two masters." You can't do that. A lot of folks try. It's impossible. You simply can't do it. Got a lot of people who think they can get by serving two masters. And it cannot work. It'll never work. Jesus said, "No man can serve two masters. Father, he will hate the one and love the other, or else he'll hold to the one and despise the other." You cannot serve God and mammon. You know what mammon represents? Money. And that is God for a lot of people here in America today. Money lovers. Oh, they won't bow down and worship a statue or a totem pole or some ugly-looking Buddha. But I'll tell you what, they'll worship the Almighty Dollar. Chase it after a buck. Money lovers. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, the Bible says. And that is the problem. So Jesus said, you can't serve two masters. No man can serve two masters. You cannot serve God and mammon. If money is more important to you than God, beloved, you're in trouble. I tell you right now, you're in big trouble with the Lord. You need to make up a mind who we're going to serve. Joshua said to his fellow Israelites, "Choose ye this day whom you will serve." Make the right choice. Make up your mind. It's an important decision. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Joshua 24, verse 15. And I like how Joshua added on, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Amen. Fathers, make up your mind. You're supposed to be the head of the home. "But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord." Some of you ladies don't have Christian husbands, do the best you can. Say, "As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. And I'm going to keep praying for my husband." So, you got unsaved husband, keep praying. Because the Bible says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." That means God wants to save your whole household. God wants to save your family members. God wants to save those unsaved dads, and unsaved wives, and unsaved children. Amen? Amen. Don't give up. Amen. Keep praying. God answers prayer. By the way, tonight I'm going to look at this important subject. How come God doesn't answer our prayers right away? And you look at Daniel chapter 10. He gives a little insight into that tonight. Daniel 10, you come out tonight. I think it'll be interesting. A lot of things going on we don't understand. But Daniel 10 kind of gives a little glimpse of the spiritual world and why sometimes our prayers, answers to our prayers are delayed. Let's move on here. We see the relationship. It started when we changed masters. We were serving the devil. Praise God, now we're serving God. So it's a new relationship. And then the requirement, very simple, good and faithful. Listen, God doesn't expect a whole lot. Just be good and faithful. God's not asking a whole lot, is it? Now,
Let's look at the recompense. The recompense. I said earlier, this chapter, these parables deal with the theme of reward and retribution. Let's look at the recompense. Verse 19, Matthew 25, 19. Says, After a long time, the Lord will return. And it's going to be a day of reckoning. Matthew 25, verse 19. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. Beloved, it's going to be a day of reckoning. I hope you understand that. The Bible says much about that. The Bible talks about the judgment seat of Christ. The Bible talks about the great white throne judgment. There's going to be a reckoning. After a long time. It seems like a long time for us. But, you know, it's not for God. See, what do you mean by that? Well, God doesn't reckon time the way we reckon time. And God doesn't look at things the way we look at things. First of all, God is eternal. Think about that now. If God is eternal, what seems to be a long time for man is not a long time for God. You need to understand that. I'll give you a verse that helps to shed some light on this. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 says that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years. And 1,000 years as one day. So for man, 1,000 years is a long time. A real long time. But for God, it's like one day. And one day for the Lord is like 1,000 years. So God's estimation of time is much different than man's. God's reckoning of time is much different. So the Bible says in verse 19, for a long time, after a long time, the Bible says, the Lord came back, the Lord of those servants cometh, and reckoneth with them. Now, as I said earlier, our Lord's parables in Matthew 25 deal with reward and retribution. The Lord Jesus said in John chapter 12, verse 26, if any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. And what does that mean, him will my Father honor? Well, let's say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. He'll be honored. Isn't it wonderful hearing those words coming from the Lord? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Now, some of you, if you go to work and your boss honors you with maybe some token of appreciation, maybe some plaque, maybe some other way of honoring you, maybe a nice bonus, that's good. And, you know, you're honored at your workplace. That's a blessing, isn't it? Some of your students may be honored at school. You're honor students, and you get straight A's. All of this is wonderful. How much more to be honored by the Lord? How much more wonderful have the Lord say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Amen? That's the kind of honor that I feel is far more important than any worldly honors. I'm not trying to downplay the importance of worldly honors. We thank God for students who work hard. And they study and work hard to get the grace. Thank God for that. Keep it up. Amen. You know, much better chance of being successful in life if you work hard in school. And I thank God for Christians who are the best workers on the job. I think Christians ought to be the best employees. I believe that. Hardest working, most punctual. Amen. Amen. Got so many amens on that. Most diligent. Amen. But praise God, how much more to think about our service for God. We're servants of God. And someday we're going to stand before the Lord. And He's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful. So will He say that to you? Are you sure about that? Think about it. Jesus said, if any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Him will my Father honor. Now, when we what we see here in our text this morning in Matthew 25, verses 21 and 23, the servants are being honored. Just like Jesus said in John 12, 27, the servants are being honored. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. The task is done. The struggle is past. The victory is won. And God's servants will be honored and God's servants will be rewarded. But not everybody's going to be honored. Not everybody's going to be rewarded. Matthew 25 and verse number 24. Matthew 25, verse 24. Then he which had received the one talent
came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man. By the way, this man traveling to a far country, and this parable represents God. And this parable shows us how some people have the wrong idea about God. Imagine saying, Lord, I know you're hard. God isn't hard, amen? Now, the devil's hard. But God is merciful, God is patient, God is long-suffering, God is gracious, amen? God is not hard. He says, I knew that thee, that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. Verse 26, his Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knowest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchanges, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And verse 30 should be looked at very carefully. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is the judgment of the unprofitable servant. This is the judgment of the wicked and slothful servant. By the way, the word unprofitable, verse 30, cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. Unprofitable here means good for nothing. Useless. Good for nothing. What a shame. Imagine God saying he's unprofitable. He's useless. He's good for nothing. Imagine God having to say that. Isn't that a shame? That some people, and by the way, each and every person in this world was made in the image and likeness of God. Jesus, the Bible says, we saw in Sunday school, tasted death for every man. Listen, it's a shame that some people, wasting their lives, not living for God, living for self, and I'll say more about that in a few minutes, how this society today is all wrapped around me and me, and what makes me feel good, and only do look out for myself, I'm number one. And what a shame to live that way, and then leave this world, and then have God say, you're unprofitable, you're good for nothing, you wicked and slothful servant. Isn't that a shame? Oh, some people need to wake up. Unprofitable means useless, good for nothing. Slothful means sluggish and lazy. I hope there's nobody here sluggish and lazy. I just said, and I'll say it again, if you're a Christian, you ought to be the hardest working person on the job. You ought to be the best worker. Get there on time, work hard, give the boss a good 8 hours work for 8 hours pay. Amen. Some people give them 4 hours work for 8 hours pay. Huh? Somebody asked a boss one time, how many people you got working for you? He said, about half of them. Huh? Isn't that a shame? And he was not joking, though. It's a shame. A lot of lazy loafers. Christians shouldn't be lazy, amen? The wicked are lazy, we know that. They don't want to work. They want to get a handout. They want to goof off. Make excuses for being lazy. Slothful means sluggish and lazy. You know, people, if you go to school, you got to work hard. Stop making excuses. Work hard. Get good grades. Learn as much as you can. Make something of yourself. The wicked servant slandered his master as being hard and exacting. In Matthew 25, verse 24. You know, it's a shame when people slander.